INC masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. If you missed out on the stick figure giveaway, don't worry. We will have it tomorrow in the noon o'clock hour as well. But right now, it's time for the C Block starring Corey Majors.
Thank you very much, Kevin. I really appreciate that. And we're bringing in the hockey hawk, Gavin Spittle, for a quick few minutes. First off, I received a bet from a Tolo that I could not do a whole show without being sarcastic. We are now 3 hours in. Do you think I can finish the show and not be sarcastic?
Oh, it's going to be tough.
All right. See, even the boss knows.
Also, it kind of sounds like payola, doesn't it?
We'll have to talk about that at a different point. But Paul Maurice, the head coach for the Florida Panthers.
Yes.
He was talking last night after the game about there was a little bit of a interesting mix-up you could see on the ice, but he had a reason for what was going on whenever it was time for the handshake. And I think we all believe handshake is one of the coolest things in all of sports, because these guys have battled and now they are shaking hands and being, you know, dudes. Yep. Just saying, hey, congratulations. Most of them are saying, now go win the effing cup.
Yeah.
They don't want to lose to a loser. And that's one thing. This is Paul Maurice, though, talking about why he didn't want to be in the handshake line.
Yeah, that's all it was. Okay. And it's a personal belief, and I really appreciate what he did, because I understand the risk, that there's a bit of a risk. So the story goes like this. I don't believe that the coaches should shake players' hands at the end. I don't. There's this long list of people in suits and tracksuits. I mean, we had like 400 people on the ice. They're all really important to our group. But not one of them was in the game. There's something for me visually with the camera on of just the men who played, who blocked shots, who fought for each other. It's the end of one season. It's excitement for the other. The last thing that a player on the Carolina Hurricanes deserves is 50 more guys in suits they have. They have no idea who they are. And that's not a negative. There should be something really kind of beautiful about just the camera on those men who played shaking hands. And we should respect that. So we talked to Craig Berube on the ice in Toronto, and I figured if I could
that's good there, because that's essentially he talked to the other coach and they said, all right, I agree with you up in Toronto. I've never really taken anything from it, because I've only all ever seen those guys. Do you agree with that, though?
I think it's true leadership. I mean, we're talking about a guy who left Winnipeg and could have stayed there for a long time, said, I'm going to quit my job because you're not listening and I want you to win. I mean, how many coaches have ever done that?
Right. Yeah.
So he really is unique. He's different. He's an amazing combination of, he has great offensive mindset, but great defensive mindset. And his teams are physical.
Yes, they are.
Hell of a soundbite too.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, he is.
No. And I'm so happy. And just to take a step back, Kevin and I were talking about this in the break. I think it was 26 years before he, as a head coach, hoisted the cup.
Really?
So when we talk about Pete DeBoer and everything, Paul Maurice is arguably, I have him as the best coach in the NHL, and he raised his first cup last year.
Wow. Yeah.
So
it's
hard.
A lot about how difficult it is to get
this. Very difficult.
That being said, I know you're a big Rangers and Cowboys guy. How you feeling about our Stars' chances tonight?
We need to score some runs. We have the day off today. Oh, you want to talk about the Stars? No. Yeah, yeah.
We definitely do need to score some runs. That is for sure.
Yeah, I can see the Stars winning tonight. I think the Stars can come out with a lot of energy. Someone said, say something positive. I said, okay, the Stars will score the first goal of the game, and Mikhail Granlund will do it.
There you go.
Hell yeah.
There it is.
I think if they play their game, they can do it. They've just been thrown off their game. Credit to Edmonton. And the Stars just need to be better in the neutral zone. And what Brian Ray was saying on the KNC masterpiece was absolutely the game plan that they have to implement. If they do that, which they did in the third period of game one, they can be so effective, but they have not been able to get to the middle of the ice, and they've had too many neutral zone turnovers.
There it is. That is the boss man right there, Gavin Spittle. The Hockey Hawk, is he's also known. You can check him out on the Spits and Suds podcast.
Hey, quick plug. You guys are awesome.
Thank you.
You're one of my top four shows on The Fan.
There's
not even top three. We always show up for work.
I was just playing it safe.
Yeah, he's just trying to cover all bases.
I love you guys.
All right, thank you very much, Gavin Spittle right there. And as far as that handshake line goes, Kevin, you know, we got to hear it from the Hockey Hawk. Do you agree that the boss should never show up on in that regard?
I honestly had never thought about it that way, but that kind of makes a lot of sense to me.
I think he's dead on with the. I think we learned our respect for Paul Maurice last year.
Yeah.
Last year we were like, dude, these sound bites are hilarious.
Oh my God.
And then we saw like what he was doing and how he coaches this team and just how impressive that is. So I've never thought of it this way before. And I don't know. I'm trying to think now. Bochy and the managers all stay back in the dugout whenever the players go shake their own teammates' hands. They usually just wait for them to come back through.
And I know it's not all of them, but so many of these coaches that you see have played the game, and a lot of them have played the game at the highest level, and they're probably like, I had my time.
Probably
like, now
so.
Now my time is to lead these men, and they'll go do it themselves.
Yeah, no, and that's, I think there's something to be said about somebody that does that. Now, the other thing, Kevin, I saw this is about UT football, and I know you're a big college football
guy. I gave positive UT softball updates.
You've been crushing that today.
They're about to win.
Texas AD Chris Del Conte on Wednesday, which was yesterday, Kevin.
Canned vegetables.
Clarify. No.
Fruits and vegetables. Jeez.
Good call.
Now, I'm starting to get it now. I'm starting to understand
it's
this.
It's annoying, isn't it?
I don't know how you do this show.
Today was really teaching you a lesson.
I don't know how you do this show. But he clarified two issues on the football program that had made recent headlines, including a scheduling change request for the season opener against Ohio State and the total amount of NIL money poured into the current roster. How much we care about the Ohio State situation? Don't. All right. I really don't. Listen, did he or did he not? I don't care, honestly.
Okay.
How much money are you spending on this team, though? And I do believe Broadus had told Mike a while back that it's like $100 million gets you a good team. And that number seemed huge.
Yeah.
Del Conte disputed a report that the football program spent $40 million to comprise its roster last year. Quote, that's bananas. We don't use that enough. We don't use the term that's bananas enough, honestly.
You know, okay, we'll get back to this in a second, but I want to dispute his usage of this phrase given what you're about to tell us.
He also said that because of Texas state laws, he doesn't know how much NIL money is going into the football players, but that will change soon if the NCAA settlement is approved, he says.
All right, second point. Don't believe that for a second. He's going to say it's bananas. This is another year. Like, I don't think that if it was $4 million, I'd be like, ooh, those decimal points will get you, or those commas will get you. You got to get that right. But what he's going to follow up with, I think, is
yeah, is the NCAA settlement that's set to be approved will introduce a revenue sharing model that will allow schools to pay about $20 million directly to players in all sports. So that idea is...
Oh, no, I believe that. I just don't believe that he doesn't know how much the team got.
I agree with you there, too. 1,000... Hold on. You don't have a single way to track how much money these guys are getting. You know who all of the donors are.
You're lying.
You're bringing those people into your cocktail parties. You're bringing them into your happy hours and having Sarkisian go talk to them so that they donate more money. You know how much money these guys are getting. So, but he's like, nope, I don't. Because there was no real system. I can understand if he's like, we don't really have a QuickBooks on it right now because we didn't keep up with it.
Mm-hmm.
But he said 75% goes to football, 15% basketball, 5 women's basketball, and 5 to other sports. So that's the idea that's going to happen with the Texas split. But he said if you put it in an ecosystem of 2 years, that could possibly be it. $40 million, but that's not the number that's accurate. That's not accurate now.
Okay, and I agree with that, and it's important to get it right. But when he was like, oh, that's bananas. That's for 2 years, not 1 year. Like, that's not that crazy.
And then Steve Sarkisian on Sirius XM said, I wish we had $40 million on our roster. We'd probably be a little better team than we are.
Oh.
Dang.
Okay.
He took a shot at himself.
Yeah.
He took a shot
time
at himself.
Much time in them DMs, you know what I'm saying?
Kevin, have you ever heard of Charlie Woods?
Yeah. He's the kid who tries to kick the football, and Lucy moves
no,
away.
No, that's Charlie Brown.
Great musician.
Oh, man, no.
Charlie Pride.
Oh,
actually, that could be. We could go a couple of different directions with that.
Charlie Woods is Tiger Woods' son.
Golfer.
And he recently won his first AJGA golf tournament.
American Junior Golf Association, I would assume.
Exactly. So he won that. He beats the top amateurs in the group. And I started wondering this. If he's awesome like Tiger,
mm-hmm.
like this is a very young age to do what he just did. If he turns out and he's awesome like Tiger was, will we let him be awesome, or will we as society obliterate him before he even gets started?
See, I don't think that we'll obliterate him, but like, let's say he won two majors. That's unfreaking believable. But they'll be like, oof, far cry from his dad. Or let's, you know what? Let's say he wins zero majors, but is on the PGA Tour for like 15 years and wins 9 tournaments. That's still incredible. But I feel people be like, oh, no Tiger. And I'm like, well, you know what? He didn't make it as a professional golfer. That's pretty dang impressive.
Yeah, I feel like if he doesn't walk on to the Masters and immediately win by 25 strokes.
Which he won't.
That people are going to go, oh, he finished second. And then they're going to just destroy him for that.
Yeah.
You're like,
that's
but he's very young.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that I want to see greatness. I want to see if he can break dad's records.
Yeah.
And now that being said, you can't just make the path easy for him. Tiger, do you remember how much scrutiny he took in addition to the love that he was getting?
Yeah.
All the while. Like it was very similar to the Cowboys, where half the people out there hated him for a lot of different reasons. The other people out there were just like, we love this guy. Look at, and A, we can market him. B, our game's getting more attention than it's ever gotten before. Like they had all these reasons that they were all about it. But I do feel like people are going to, just before he even gets started, they're going to be like, well, here's the standard we have to set for you.
I get it.
And like with LeBron and Bronny. Bronny's not a player like LeBron at all.
No.
And he's never going to live up to that. But before he even got started, it was being destroyed. Now, was that partially because he was already in the limelight? Yes.
I don't think his dad helped out with that either.
It was invited for sure. Is there more pressure on him, on Charlie Woods, than other kids' athletes?
100%.
Athlete kids.
Yeah, because you're not just another athlete's kid. You're one of the greatest golfers ever kids. You know, like...
being Michael Jordan's kid.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, I know... Didn't Michael Jordan's kid end up hooking up with Scottie Pippen's ex-wife?
Yeah, there's okay. A kind of chaos story going there.
All right, so they're probably not together anymore, but like that kind of pressure is probably crazy. Like, because I think if you go back to Bronny James, now the Lakers didn't help out that situation, but if he was just like, you know, Guy Stevenson, then you'd be like, oh yeah, that's a pretty good player. And like maybe he would naturally make his way to the NBA and be like, oh yeah, for a second round pick, he's had a heck of a career. But instead it's going to be like, whoa. It's not like his dad.
And to that point, and then somebody's bringing up Shador Sanders and Deion. That's another interesting part in this conversation.
Yeah.
We have no clue what Charlie's vice could be. But will he not be compared or looked at in that same way because of what his dad did?
Look, I get it.
And that's unfair. But it is, it's very unfair. It's just, it is the way that people look at things, though.
Yeah, and it's, you see that all the time where parents kind of pay for the sins of their kids or kids pay for the sins of their parents. I don't like that either, but you're right. That is the way it is.
Yeah. By the way, Kevin, can you read, it's from the 469 and it has my name at the beginning of it.
Oh.
I don't want to read it because I don't want it to come off as sarcastic.
Corey said that he finishes the golf tournament in 25 strokes, and y'all didn't laugh. What is going on today?
This is a weird show today. I'm sorry, guys. This is a different approach.
What do they mean by that?
Yeah.
That's explain. That's a golf term.
I'm not sure.
Use it in a sentence.
Yeah.
What's its origin?
And that, ladies and gentlemen, is the C block.
You're so lucky the C block was like 2 minutes longer. Like that guy in the golf course. We're the KNC Masterpiece. Right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, why the most dramatic moves some Rangers fans want are still a long ways away. We'll do it next right here on The Fan.
A look at second. Here's the pitch. Bichette swings and hammers one to deep left field. Back goes Osuna. He's at the wall, and it is gone. Bichette with a two-run homer, and the Blue Jays have a 2-0 lead.
That would be the final score as well. This is going to be my reality check for some Rangers fans. I'm going to read you some of the comments from our Facebook page and other social media entities. And this was actually a couple days ago, so we still tag on some more losses after that. Sell the team. Fire Bochy. Trade Semien and Garcia. DFA Peterson. Rebuild. It's time to start selling some pitching. Another one. Hope the Rangers can take advantage of another team willing to overpay for Semien, Garcia, Bradford, or Peterson. The Rangers need to unload some of their bigger contracts and go through a mini rebuild because our offense is worst in Major League Baseball. Another one, trade Mally while it's hot, while he's hot. Another one, it's over. Trade off everyone. Rebuild. This team is a joke, and nothing is going to change with the team. They don't want to win, and the bullpen is the worst in history. My point is, there are a lot of factual inaccuracies in all of that. But my point is, the sentiment about the team just not being good, specifically the offense and the bullpen. The starting pitching is freaking unbelievable. All right. It's great. I hear you. Like, rock on to all of that. The trade deadline is at 5 p.m. on July 31st.
All right, so we got some time.
You have more than 50 games to play until you even hit the trade deadline. My point being, you are nowhere close to seeing any of those moves happen. Let's go ahead. Like, let's look at the first one. Fire Bochy. Personally, I think that's a ludicrous opinion.
Right. Yeah.
The guy who won you the World Series a year and a half ago for the first time ever.
Yeah, no, you're not.
We're
going to
fire him.
And he's a good manager.
Trade Semien.
This morning, Choppy was like, you fire managers for the pitching decisions, like for bullpen decisions, and for why is he playing this guy? Like, why is he playing certain players? But the way, what he's doing, he's doing everything he can with whatever talent they have. And it's not a lot.
Yes. So trade Semien and Garcia. We go back to this all the time. If me, you, Alec, and the other fans of the Rangers know the problems of these players, so does every other team. And so you're going to have to eat a bunch of that money if you're trying to make that trade. We're going to get back to the money in just a second. Next one, DFA Jock Peterson. All right, so let's take the money that you would eat there and the money you would eat off the Semien and Garcia trade. And what has this ownership group been concerned about? Not wasting money and going above the next apron. So your response to that is going to be, I need you to eat all this money.
For $12 million. It's about $12 million, I believe, right?
And it'd be even more than that. It would be even more than that. If you're going to trade those two people, you're going to eat money on that trade. If you're going to DFA Jock Peterson, you're going to eat money on releasing it. So what we're saying to the ownership group is, I need you to just bite the bullet on this. For these three players that we're going to get rid of, that you're still going to have to kind of pay for, but we're not going to use anymore. That's not going to be a good way to convince the ownership for future spending.
Right.
All right, let's go to the next one. Time to sell some starting pitching. And again, the next one, trade Mally while he's hot. Now, therein lies the next problem that I brought up to you. You have more than 50 games until the trade deadline. So theoretically, although Boch did say they might scale some of them back, that's at least 10 more starts for Mally. All right, so that's a lot of starts.
Unless you deal them right now.
That is true. The appeal to trading those players right now is zero to me. And here's why. Baseball teams don't actually pay more, that much more, if any more, for making the trade earlier before the deadline. Like, in my head, you trade for Mally right now, I know he'd still be a rental. You trade for Mally right now as opposed to at the end of July, you're like, oh, we get 10 extra starts. That's not really what the history of the baseball trade deadline tells us. You don't seem to get that much of a premium, if any premium, for trading early. So the Rangers are going to be disincentivized to make those trades earlier. Secondly, that is not the way that Chris Young operates. But you heard him with G-Bag, obviously going back several weeks now. when they talked about firing the offensive coordinator, the thing that he said multiple times to G-Bag was, there's still enough time in the season. We think we could turn it around. There's still enough time. You think 25 games later or whatever it's been that they've changed their mind about that? There is no way. If you consider the fact that they still have 50 games, 52, I think, until the trade deadline, there is no way that the Rangers have changed their philosophy on this. So I just wanted to throw out, and we've got a couple of other points that we can run through, but I just want to throw out there, while everyone is saying the season is doomed, I'm not disputing that. In fact, if you want some numbers, there's been 1,215 teams in baseball history that have had the same or worse record than the Rangers at this point in the season. According to Stathead, only 3.6% of those teams have made the playoffs. All right, so I don't disagree with the people who think the season is probably lost, and I just wanted to give them some information to back that up. I don't disagree with that at all. I'm just telling you, whether it's because of the precedent baseball has set, whether it's because of what Chris Young has said, or whether it's because of the way that this franchise operates, there is no chance you are going to get these big moves it's going to be a while. It could be as long as almost 2 months.
Yeah. What I think needs to be done is almost impossible right now.
Which is?
About 4 different players added to this team.
Sure.
That can all hit better.
Sure.
And I don't think you can go into the minor league system and get them. And it might not be 4. It might be more than that.
Yeah.
But it seems impossible to do this season based on what is out there, what you have, and what money you can work with. But the reality is the talent at the plate is not good enough. And you are doing everything you can to give it opportunities to turn back into what it is. But at the moment, it is not good. And so I think you have to add bats. That's the only place I'd go to.
Yeah.
There's nothing else on this team I want to change right now. And by God, if I finally got that, then I'd want to change the bullpen a little bit. But right now, it's really only about the hitters. And Kevin, Seager, Langford, Berger, and Heim might be the only good ones to keep around.
Oh, we don't. Not Josh Smith?
He's a good utility infielder, Kevin.
Okay, I will disagree about Josh Smith.
That's fine. Keep him around. I can't trade him anyway.
That's true. But, like, you look at some of your options. We talked about this player, and I know they brought him up for like 5 seconds. A couple weeks ago, Justin Foscue. All right. So Justin Foscue has been doing well, though he's fallen off just a little bit. But you're going to bring him up and hope that he does better than the last time he was here. For people that are going to bring up Sebastian Walcott, that is not going to happen. If you think it's going to happen like in September or something, if the Rangers were out of contention or whatever, like maybe. I know that he moved up in ESPN, I think, to their number 4 prospect. It's not going to happen right now. We're looking for solutions in the meantime. And so, Corey, you're right. You're stuck in a bad place because you can't trade for hitters that make a lot of money, because I think you still have, I don't know, like $6 or $8 million at most to not go over the next apron, which the owners have made it very clear they don't want to do. That's why I like the move of bringing Osuna up. But that's one.
Right.
So like you said, for example, let's say you do feel good about those 4.
And
now you got 5.
What does Osuna correct? Like, what does it change? The fact that Evan Carter's injured.
Yeah.
It's not, you didn't replace a bad hitter with a better hitter. You had to get somebody up there that could do the job because injury and Kevin Pillar wasn't good enough. You know, yeah. Like that's exactly where you are. You would have liked to have brought Osuna up because he was perfect fit for taking the place of a guy that wasn't good.
Yeah.
Instead of a guy that was potentially good getting hurt. And so that's a bad place to be right now.
So I just wanted to bring that up because I don't disagree that we can't hit worth a damn. I don't disagree that it looks like historically this season is in a lot of trouble. I don't disagree with any of that. But for people who want it to happen at the end of May, it's not going to happen. You're going to need to wait at least another month, and probably even longer than that. I hope you'll keep rooting for the Rangers. I have no problem with people being frustrated with the Rangers because we talked about it. You know what, Alec? Let's run this exercise one more time. Let's play every single hit that the Texas Rangers got last night. Every single hit they got last night. Go ahead, Alec. This will probably take several minutes.
Pitch to him is swung on and grounded past the third baseman, Barger, down the left field line. Smith around first, big turn, slams on the brakes, and goes back with a leadoff single.
And that's it. That was your hit from last night. And so I understand everybody's frustration. I'm just telling you, if this is what you're waiting for, you're going to be frustrated for more than another month.
This goes back, Kevin. Remember earlier I was talking about, look, it looks like Shea and company are going to be great forever. And it looks like, you know, when you start building your team and you start looking at your roster, you're like, hey, it's a World Series roster. We're talented. But then you don't recognize when the talent has fallen off and you're trying to figure out how to hold Jell-O in your hands and get it all back together, and it's just not going to. That's where this team is right now. They're in that phase of they had the talent, but they don't have the talent right now. And keeping a team that you think is going to be a 20-year window, keeping that 20-year window closes a lot faster than you actually think.
Yeah, and look, I get why Bochy says that, and part of the reason is they haven't had everybody healthy at the same time. But that's what he's got to say. We've talked about that with the Cowboys, with every other team. What's he going to say? You think he's going to come out here and be like, yeah, you're right. We just don't have players that are good enough. Like, that's not going to work for a couple of different reasons.
Yeah, mostly because you want those guys to believe in you.
Yes.
And if you believe in them, they believe in you. Man.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. If you could, please give me cut number 6. I also want to talk a little bit about the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Down the lane floats a runner. Counts it. It goes and it goes. Gilgeous Alexander weaving through a minefield of Minnesota defenders. It didn't matter. He gets to the strike for the fourth time in game 5. 33 points in 33 minutes.
So the Minnesota Timberwolves showed all kinds of give up yesterday as their season was on the line and they fell behind 26-9 in the first quarter.
That is, Kevin, my hope and prayer is that the Stars don't have that in them at all. That they're like tonight, there's no, man, it's just going to be too tough tonight.
Okay.
Like that's all I'm hoping is just please give me every ounce of effort you have.
Let me ask you a question then. Totally serious. You go to the first intermission tonight and it's Edmonton 2, Stars nothing.
I am going to be disheartened.
Do you think it's over? Are you going to think it's over?
You can't if you're the Stars.
Just as a fan.
I will be disheartened to the point where I'm just like, ugh. And it also matters on what you see them, how they're playing. Like if you see them out there and they're skating,
that's fair.
They're skating with their heads down, then you're like, oh. But you could see it on Minnesota last night.
Yeah.
Like there were multiple moments where I was like,
oh my God, yes.
Oh my gosh, they didn't even try for that ball. Like it was very, very many times. So that's exactly where I am with the Stars. I'm hopeful, but you'll be able to tell in the first period by watching how they skate if they think they can still win that thing if they're down 2-0.
Alec, if the Stars find themselves in a Timberwolves-esque situation, let's say they're losing 2-0 at the end of the first period, and I know normally you'd be like, oh, 2-0's not that bad. Take out the end of game 1 in that period, you scored 3 goals the rest of the entire series. So I do feel like if it's 2-0, I'm not going to stop watching, but I'm going to be like, well, we did our best.
Not going to be very encouraged. And I even selectively cut a highlight that we played yesterday. I think it was the last goal of the game where Sean McDonough noticed that whoever it was at center ice that was trying to grab a rebound, he was like, he looks incredibly tired right now.
Yeah.
And I left that in there for a reason. I think this team is just emotionally and physically done. And I hate to say that. I hope they prove me wrong and they score 7 goals like Reggie always says to win a game. Yeah. So that would be amazing.
Wasn't the 99 Cup, weren't those guys big on Sudafed? Like, do you not remember this story?
I don't.
Go look up the Sudafed story. Evidently, it's kind of got a little something in it that gets you going.
I did not know that.
Yeah, no-dos and stuff like that. You get some of that. Maybe they just need something that, like, to not have those tired legs.
So we talked about the potential parallels with the Stars and with the Timberwolves. So Oklahoma City is into the NBA Finals for the first time since 2012. Tonight, do you think the Pacers close it out and advance to play Oklahoma City in the TV executives' nightmare final?
I do.
Okay.
I think the Pacers' approach to attacking Jalen Brunson when he's on the defensive side of the ball has paid off for them. Hell, they got him to foul out. Boston did too, because they know, and that's what this league is, right? You hunt the weak defensive player. And that's what has been Rick Carlisle's approach to this entire series. And I don't think that's going to change tonight. And they're going to put Jalen Brunson in a bad situation.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's chit-chat with those fellas from the G-Bag Nation right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Marchman swept it to Granlund. Harley Robertson in the slot. He scores! Jason Robertson! A power play goal and a 1-1 game.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan right now, courtesy of D&M Leasing. It's time to chit-chat with the low-riding fellas from the G-Bag Nation. Gentlemen, how is you today, and why is Eric so low in his chair?
Well, we're doing great, Haggy. Thanks for asking. I think Chief got the one lowrider in here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I brought the lowrider in. I didn't realize it was as low as it is. Mm-hmm. I was in the production studio hanging out with the great folks at Greystone Roofing and Construction, and I sat down in a chair that I'd never sat in before. This is the chair, and I was like, this is the one. But then I pulled it in here and realized I can't even, like, is Corey even here today?
I don't see you at all.
Corey is here. I hear him.
You are like... Like, seriously, if you can see our table, what is your foot like? Your head is like a foot and a half above the table.
It's the most comfortable I've ever been in this studio.
Is that right?
But I hate not seeing Corey's incredible face.
Thank you.
Interesting.
Appreciate that.
Now, we brought this up earlier, and we essentially volunteered Alec for it. We've got a wrestler from AEW coming in tomorrow, Ricochet.
Yes.
And we have volunteered Alec to take chops from Ricochet. How do you think that's going to go?
Wow. Well, Alec, how does Alec feel about this? Has he consented?
He's fine. I'm assuming he's fine.
Oh, he's so excited.
Oh, that's true. It's important to get consent. Yeah. Alec, do you consent to this?
Oh, absolutely. I'm terrified, but yeah, it's going to happen.
Now, here's what
happens. You're going to have to add one to your body count after that, dude. After what he's going to do to you, right?
Yeah. No, yeah. I get what you're saying. Unfortunately, it spiraled away from me after that because I made the mistake of saying that if this all goes well, perhaps I would talk with management and Jesse Holly about redoing
2.0.
Yeah. And then
I have a suggestion.
Dude, we've had CTE studies and stuff since then.
Hey, right?
Yeah. And that's why
I'm no worse off than I was that many years ago. Probably.
Our plan would be to get the extra helmet, the padded helmet that goes on the top.
Oh, the Guardian.
The Guardian
cap.
Helmet.
Yeah. 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 Those. They pimp those out, by the way.
Do you put the Guardian cap just right over your natural head, or do you wear a helmet as
both.
Well?
I got more to worry about because then Corey decided to take it to the next level.
Bring Jesse Holly back for this moment so he can relive his special teams attack.
Right. Wedgebuster.
Add Wanye Thomas at the same time. All right.
Gosh.
Because Wanye is a current Cowboy, and how do we establish that we're the home of the Cowboys in any better way than having a Cowboy take part in this?
Two Cowboys, one Hagee.
Exactly.
I don't like that.
And his favorite player on the Cowboys team is Wanye Thomas.
I do love Wanye Thomas.
He's great.
So I think he gets a little hug afterwards, and he's a happy man.
But yeah. What you said was...
They're going to hug him to pick him up onto the gurney.
He said, I get to put pads on, but then so does Wanye.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, I don't want to do that at all.
I like this idea.
I am not one of those people that could like, I could play football. No, I can't.
Let's be honest, though. I think it would actually hurt worse if you subbed out Wanye, and I know you have an affinity for him, if you subbed him out for Donovan Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, now, he might miss you. It's kind of like it's a boom or bust situation.
Take a step to your right.
Yeah. Like, if you just have any athleticism to you, you could avoid
step
it.
Step to your right and see
It'll
what
be
happens.
One of those but he's an Aggie. Fire in the air. I'm just like,
you
I'm
might
good.
Just, you might just juke him.
Or he takes your head off.
Yeah.
And he's an Aggie. This is like Aggie. This is what you guys do.
Might need to do this real quick. I don't know how much longer he's going to be on the team for sure.
Yeah.
Dang. Okay. So if we made it to the regular
season, you can save a lot of money a post June 1 cut.
Okay. I got what you're saying.
He might be looking for work, honestly.
Okay, well, I don't think we have a job to hire people to hit other people in the hallway.
We could carve out a role.
Maybe we do. Cowboys insider / crusher of people in the hallway.
Are you really going to sign up? Are you really down to do that again? That video,
the Jesse Holly
part 2, bro.
Maybe. And the best angle of that is Sean's from inside the studio where I'm there and then I just disappear.
Yeah.
And you can hear Sean go, oh my God.
I have not seen that.
Yeah. It is.
I'll go find it. It
hurt.
Good.
For sure.
It was pretty good.
How are you guys feeling about the Stars this evening?
Walchuk's wearing his Stars jersey, so I feel great.
Is there a wig?
I've got it all. I tried to just channel everything that I was wearing for game six when they closed it up against Winnipeg and game one of this series. So I'm hoping, man. I'm just.
But even that, you sound defeated by that.
Yeah, it definitely feels. And I know Pete DeBoer just he had a press conference and he's saying, hey, he thought it was more of an uphill battle when they were down 0-2 versus Vegas. But this is kind of how it feels. Like, this is very reminiscent when it seemed like that series was over. So Edmonton is getting a couple of guys back tonight, it looks like. Ekholm appears that he's going to be making his return. He's going to be with Evan Bouchard in a D pairing. And then Jeff Skinner looks like he's back.
Don't you think that's essentially the replacement for Hyman right there?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, maybe there's some rust. Maybe they're like Robo, and it takes them a little bit to get going. I mean, hey, maybe it just messes with their juju a little bit. You know, maybe it ruins things. Maybe they get in a funk now. But hey, the Stars are at home. I just want to try and give as much positivity and good momentum as possible.
You know, I think some of their players might be lacking confidence right now, but I don't think this fan base is going to let them play tonight without feeling absolute on fire. Okay. They will be energized. They will be confident tonight. You're not going to lose this game with everything that's happened so far, because these fans are going to be out for blood tonight, Hagee. And it's going to set a tone.
I like that, Broadus.
Yeah, the thing I worry about the most is when you start to, as you try and keep that puck into the offensive zone and you just push and you attack and you attack. Nobody's better with these odd man rushes than Edmonton.
You're right.
And so all it takes is, we've seen the last couple of games, Dallas can have 35, 38 shots and still lose a hockey game.
Control the offensive zone.
I think Dawson's onto it. I think the crowd, I'd love to see his tweet come true where all of a sudden it's win this game and find a way to win a game six. It comes down to that. I'd love to see that. But I have a feeling there's going to be so much put into this that Edmonton, they've proven all series that when they get odd man rushes, it's usually they get a goal. And that's what I worry about tonight.
The Stars are going to do to Edmonton tonight what Ricochet is going to do to Medford tomorrow.
Oh.
Okay. What you witness on television tonight, just know that that's in your near future, Medford.
Is this the Ricochet's move?
This guy's a flipper. I'm watching him flip.
Yeah, he does all kinds of
power drive.
I don't think we can get authorization for the moves that Bobby wants him to put Alec through.
Sleeper?
Yeah, or a power bomb and all kinds of crazy
stuff. What's the power bomb?
It's when you put the head down and you lift them up above your head and drop them on their back.
A tombstone. No.
Woodchuck.
Cincinnati boat. It's a jackknife power bomb.
Hey.
Not a tombstone pile driver.
Yeah, different. That's Undertaker and Kevin Nash. Different things.
Do we have the same moves from all through history, but just different names?
Well, the moves that Ricochet does now would make the people from like 30 years ago pass out, because they'd be like, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah.
Because he does all kinds of like crazy flying moves and everything. But other than that,
this dude's getting aerial.
Is he like Jimmy Snuka? Is he like Superfly guy coming off the ropes and stuff?
He makes Jimmy Superfly Snuka look like you or me in the ring.
Whoa.
There's an entire YouTube compilation that is just titled The Superhuman Ability of Ricochet.
Okay.
See?
And he's just going aerial and like gymnastic style, flipping frontwards, backwards, and then boom! There goes Medford's dome.
I was kind of thinking,
so
what,
scared, man.
This is going to get spinal on him, bro.
I was kind of thinking what wrestler I would look like back in the day, though, Heggy. I don't think I'd be a modern wrestler. I think I'd be Ivan Putski or something.
I can see that. Yeah. Polish Hammer.
Or Polish Hammer. I could be somebody that's kind of
He's not big enough for that.
Not big enough for that?
Who?
Yeah. King Kong Bundy?
No. Bundy's much bigger than me, right?
He needs to put on a bald head. But he need to put on a lot of weight for that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Bundy was big, but I mean, some French
George
toast,
the
pancakes.
Animal Steel.
Oh, I could see that. Do you think he could eat a turnbuckle?
Sure. Like all the stuffing and all that?
Yeah.
What is a turnbuckle?
That's the thing. The
covering for the ring.
In the ring.
In
the corner.
Mm. Oh my gosh. I think he could eat that.
Are you so excited about this Ricochet Alec thing?
I'm fired up. I was unfamiliar with his work.
Is he a 5'9 guy?
Yeah, he is a short guy.
He's 5'9, 185, I think.
But he might be 5'9 the way Alec's 5'9.
What's he doing in town?
Really 5'7"?
He is promoting the AEW show at Globe Life Field in July.
Wow.
And so
I was hoping he was just in town to just crush Medford.
That I thought maybe he was in town to promote Florida outdoor hockey. Did you see that, by the way?
No.
The outdoor stadium series. They're gonna play a game in Florida for the outdoor.
That's the mecca of hockey these days, dude.
Winter Classic is gonna play in Florida.
Stanley Cup is definitely going through Florida over the last decade.
Yeah, that's true.
That has to offend Canadians even more, right?
Yeah, win the Stanley Cup.
Toronto just had one of their players just came out and said, I ain't playing for any Canadian teams in free agency.
Yeah, because they don't win the cup. And this year will be no exception. What do you guys got coming up on the program today?
Pure Gold, as always. Heggie, thanks so much for asking. Yes. We do have a full show, 5 hours, and a couple of guests. Ralph Strangis at 5, Todd Archer at 4.
Nice. Love it, love it, love it. Roll home with the G-Bag Nation. We have been the KNC Masterpiece. Make your way back with us tomorrow, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Be serious, Corey, Kevin.
Go Stars.